What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Friday morning. You know, quiet night last night, obviously, with no Phillies game. But it's going to be an awful lot this weekend. And there's been an awful lot this week. I mean, the Eagles at practice, very active. We got a lot of audio to play of things that stand out from what they said yesterday. And obviously, we were there at practice. We'll get to that. You know, they play a preseason game actually coming up not too long from now. The Olympics start, you know, today, opening ceremonies from Paris, which is really cool. So, look, we got a lot to do. It's all with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. As we broadcast this morning, our home base every Friday morning, the beautiful Borgata in Atlantic City. Again, your chance to hop aboard the phone lines and join us, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello there, Joe.
What's up, buddy?
Do you know fingernails grow up to 4 times faster than toenails do?
I would surmise that.
Really?
Yeah, we have to cut them a lot less, you know?
James, let me explain something to you. About 20 minutes ago, I was preparing for the show, going through some audio. And I bit off 3 of my nails.
Fingernails. Been a while since we got
it. Well, at least it was fingernails. And
fingernails,
not,
yes. But the point is, I recognize.
And not the toenails that has been a habit in the past. But he still bites his toenails. I saw him do it in the studio a month ago.
I can never unsee it.
But I get the point that I bite the fingernails more than the toenails, hence they grow faster.
Yes, they grow faster.
Have you bitten your toenails since we watched that horror in the studio about a month and a half
ago? Normally, I more rip them. They're more like a rip and tear.
But you rip them with your mouth.
Sometimes. Sometimes with the mouth.
No.
Sometimes
so you just, do you not even own a pair of nail clippers?
I probably don't. I mean, I certainly don't care. I mean, let me put it this way, James. I haven't used one, you know, 15, 20 years.
Wow.
Just not what I do. You know? Why? So. James, it's like you with your haircut. I mean, why go to a salon when your wife can give you a bad haircut?
Yeah,
Joe,
that's
would
true.
You?
That is definitely not the same
Save
thing,
a couple bucks.
Really nailed that one.
Yeah.
You've got a young nephew visiting your house. Would you want him? Okay, he's walking by Joe's room.
He would
walk by Uncle Joe's room. Would you want to set an example for that young
good
nephew?
Behavior. There it is.
For the love
that
of
you're
God.
Biting your toenails off, or that you're, you know,
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right,
in a clean way.
So just, use nail clippers.
Let's get to the birds here. So, look, an awful lot this week on Sirianni and Hurts, obviously, and for months. And look, we'll see how that plays out. There's a lot there, right? As from a relationship standpoint, from an individual standpoint with each of them, there's a lot there. But there's also, like, this whole other team, you know, like the rest of the team. Curious today at 215-592-9494, what is piquing everyone's interest with, you know, the rest of the team? Because there's so much to be intrigued by. There's so much to be excited about. There are things to be concerned about. You know, this is a team with high expectations, but this isn't like 04 where you're like, oh, I got ready-made Super Bowl contender. Like, we don't know that for sure. We'll see. Curious where your focus is and what your thoughts are on something else besides just the quarterback and the head coach grabbing your attention and piquing your interest at 215-592-9494. I mean, John, we were at camp yesterday, which was great and cool and fun. And obviously, after our show, we got to see the practice. What stood out to you? What's grabbing your attention these days?
I knew Kelee Ringo was going to be a part of our defense.
Yep.
I knew that Isaiah Rogers was going to be a part of our defense. Both had been mentioned this offseason. Out there at practice yesterday, I'm seeing a number 31 running around at cornerback. And again, we drafted two cornerbacks.
That's right.
That's what we did. We went out. We drafted in the first round a cornerback. The very next guy we drafted right at the start, the next day, we draft a cornerback. Neither of those cornerbacks are this number 31 who's out there running with the ones.
So the hype was real, the offseason hype on this
Ringo guy? No. It was more than real.
Wow.
It was Kelee Ringo. It was now Isaiah Rogers. He is legit. He's number 34. He's out there with the ones. Isaiah Rogers is holding his own. Isaiah Rogers is a legit NFL cornerback. Slay's on one side. Rogers is on the other side. And I'm thinking, okay, that's cool. But now 31.
Wow.
I had no idea who 31 was. I'm looking it up on my roster. This Tyler Hall, who they brought from the Las Vegas Raiders, is starting in some of these packages.
Wait, which one's 31? Tyler Hall?
He's a nickel guy, yeah. Right?
Oh, so you're
he's
so 31 isn't Ringo.
And
oh,
outside.
I thought you said 31.
But you're impressed by a lot of guys? Yes. And I'm telling you, I'm impressed by these cornerbacks. I'm impressed by Kelee Ringo. I'm impressed by Tyler Hall. I'm impressed by even Isaiah Rogers, the fact that he's out there looking smooth. It feels like these players are ahead of our first round draft pick, Quinyon Mitchell. That part's weird to me. Not just one, not just two guys. Three guys that, you know, did not really know much about.
For the most part, that's good news. I mean, you'd want Mitchell
to be. It's great news.
Yeah, to be phenomenal.
We have 13 young cornerbacks in camp, and we have three of them basically that are ahead of the first round cornerback.
Look, it's going to be
three of them.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it shakes out.
And by the way, Joe, the first round cornerback who we drafted, he's gigantic.
Yep.
When I look at him out there, he looks like such a stud. I know that he ran a 4.3 at the combine. I can't understand how he puts that together, the speed and the size. There's another guy who did that, who surprised me in that way.
Who's
out
that?
There on the field, on the other side of the ball.
Who?
Our third wide receiver, Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell looks completely different than I expected. I didn't know much about this player because he hasn't had much success. He's been in a couple places that, you know, questionable quarterback play,
right,
questionable offenses. This guy is not only much bigger than I expected, but he has a suddenness to the way he gets in and out of breaks that is special. I'm telling you, special like when I watched Terrell Owens. That level of excitement.
Seltzer, is he going too far? He just went too far. John Ritchie officially just crossed the Rubicon.
You need to stop because you don't know.
He's not Terrell
explosive.
Owens, right?
This guy is big.
I feel pretty
confident. Know what he's listed at size-wise.
No, but you're impressed.
I know
that's
he's
good.
Much bigger than I thought,
yeah.
And I know that he is in the best shape of his life. Or he has gotten more explosive, faster, everything you could ask for.
Look,
this guy's working hard, and he looks like he's going to be a part of our offense in a bigger way than I could have ever imagined.
No, I'm glad to hear on both sides what you just talked about, corners and, you know, him, Paris Campbell, because, you know, it felt like when Paris Campbell got signed, it was the old, you know, spin the wheel and just pick a guy thing. Like, the way the Sixers have in recent years.
That's what it
just
was.
Just turn over year by year by year by year.
Sure.
Different guy every year.
Torrey Smith was the guy who'd take the top off the defense.
But
he was very solid. Quez, give you a play here and there. That's the experience that we've had at the third wide receiver in many cases.
I'm glad you think so.
I think this guy could be a stud.
Well, here's the thing. I'm curious from everyone today at 215-592-9494. We're going to get to the Phils as well, who get back at it tonight versus Cleveland. But curious from an Eagles standpoint, beyond just the quarterback and coach that we've talked so much about this week, what else is piquing your interest? In a good way, in a bad way, in an intriguing way, whatever it might be. I mean, let me give you two answers here. I'm going to go both on the defensive side of the football. One relates to a coach. One relates to two players. So Vic Fangio obviously intrigues the heck out of me. And I think the big thing is we're going to find out whether Vic Fangio can make the sum of the parts greater than the individual parts. I mean, the reality is that this defense is a tremendous question mark. Tremendous question mark. And we know that Fangio is, and we heard from him yesterday at the press conference. We played that at the very end of our show. We'll play some audio of Vic Fangio as we move through the show. I mean, here's what I know about Eagles history as it relates to defensive coordinators. Buddy Ryan, who was, of course, the head coach, but ran the defense. Bud Carson and Jim Johnson. Like, everybody's like, those three are great. And everybody else stinks. Jonathan Gannon supposedly stunk. Billy Davis might have actually stunk.
Jonathan Gannon didn't stink.
No, I don't think so, too, but I'm saying a lot of people thought that. Jim Schwartz, oh, he stinks. He didn't stink. Jim Schwartz they won a Super Bowl with. But there's this thing in Philadelphia.
Jim Schwartz
where it's
is
like,
really good.
It's like if your names weren't Jim Johnson, Buddy Ryan, or Bud Carson, you had no idea what you were doing on defense. Look, I don't subscribe to it. I don't think it's that simple. But here's what I know. Vic Fangio is a very heralded defensive coordinator. You know, he's considered like a master defensive coordinator. And this defense could use some help. So when we watch them play, I'm going to be all eyes on whether it looks like he's making a noticeable difference. If it looks like the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, because that's what you want from any coach. You want the coach to put it together. So I'm going to be fascinated with a team that we know has an explosive offense, that whether Vic Fangio can help these guys put it together on the field. And obviously that will be a big swing factor this season for their success or less than. Now, that's one thing. That's a coaching thing. Here's another one. And this is a very unusual thing to be intrigued by. Backup linebacker, two names, maybe one spot. Okay? N'Kobe Dean and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I mean, rarely.
Hold on. I don't know that those guys are even competing for a backup spot.
Well, they're definitely competing for a backup spot. The question is whether one will get it, zero will get it, but I don't think two will get it. I don't. And here's what makes it.
I think you're very safe in saying that.
Right, right, exactly. And here's what makes it.
They're way down.
No, I'm well aware. And Trot, remember. The hamstring, yeah. Here's what makes it kind of different. We don't normally talk about a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick as much as we talk about these two guys, but they both entered the Eagles' realm immediately as fan favorites. N'Kobe Dean, because he won a national championship. And it's like, oh, wow, we got this N'Kobe Dean. Now, he's been a tremendous disappointment. Great guy. Everybody's still rooting for him, but he hasn't done much at all yet in the NFL. And then Trot Jr. is Trot Sr.'s son.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to have a backup linebacker. I don't remember backup linebacker intriguing me, but this one does.
Well,
and look, I'm rooting for both of them. I don't think both will make it.
I think you need to retrain your eyes, though, because Zach Bond, Oren Burks.
Well, Zach Bond's going to start.
Ben Van Sumeren, like, these are guys who are ahead of the guys you're talking about based on the early
returns.
Well,
we know Zach Bond is. Whether the other guys you said are or not, we'll say. Look, I'm going to tell you, Trot Jr. and N'Kobe Dean, I want to see tons of playing time in the preseason games.
N'Kobe Dean was out there yesterday with the twos.
Yep.
So, you know, that's good.
He's got a shot. Special teams are playing.
He's getting an opportunity, but he needs to play better.
There is so much competition.
And you got old guys who actually know what they're doing better than he does in this new defense.
Look, we want to hear from you at 215-592-9494. What's piquing your interest? James, give me something top of mind for you other than the quarterback and coach that you're thinking about.
Yeah, the offensive line. Almost become just, we're good. We got stout. We're good. I mean, the Tyler Steen, Mekhi Becton is. I know Richie's short. Cam Jurgens going to be great at center, and I think he obviously could be. But for the first time in a long time, we have a real question mark on that line. And we have talked so little about Tyler Steen, Mekhi Becton, projectile vomit guy. we have talked so little about this stuff, and it is something, especially with the way last season went down with the blitz, the whole thing, that could be a massive storyline this season.
Yeah, no, look, James, I agree with you. I think Howie deserves tremendous credit in recent years for drafting Cam Jurgens and especially Landon Dickerson, because Dickerson is already fully established. Cam Jurgens, obviously, with the move to center, has got to kind of reestablish there. But to Howie's credit, he did a heck of a job, it seems, in helping the transition process away from Jason Peters, away from Brandon Brooks, away from now Jason Kelce. I mean, this has been.
It helps that Jason Kelce gave a lot of input on the center replacement.
It does help. But,
absolutely.
But we were accustomed to the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line being one of two things, either an A or an A+. So, like,
so what do you think that they've dropped to?
I don't know.
Like, I gotta see
the guard.
I like the way Steen gets after people in the run game. I know that Becton, if he's the one who wins, he's got a lot of experience. And by the way, I'll talk about it when we come back. Yeah. This offensive line did something yesterday that was awe-inspiring.
Well, okay, I like that. All right. So all of this on the table, both sides of the ball, the coaches, the whole deal. What intrigues you about this football season beyond just the quarterback and the head coach? 215-592-9494. We're going to get to the Phils coming up next as well, as they start a new series tonight. And the clock is obviously ticking on the trade deadline and Dave Dombrowski. So we'll get to that and more from Borgata. Your phone calls, Joe to Cameron, John Richards, 215-592-9494. 94-94.
Hey, Philly, if it's been a minute since you've considered a Nissan, now's the time to check out my friends at the Busch Auto Group. With six Nissan models under $30,000 and two locations in Limerick and Exton, quality and affordability are right around the corner. This month, you can save up to $4,000 on in-stock Nissan models. Not only that, but every vehicle purchase comes with over $3,000 in bonus value to help drive down the cost of vehicle ownership. Trust me. I've been a customer myself. These guys know how to treat you right. Head to Nissan 422 of Limerick or Exton Nissan today to save big. Or view their wide selection of new and pre-owned vehicles online at BushAutoGroup.com. That's B-U-S-H Auto Group.
That really sets up for a great weekend. I mean, you got the Phils. I don't know if everyone listening knows this. Many people probably don't. Cleveland, who, by the way, I will probably never refer to as the Guardians. I just think it's
hard. I know. It feels weird.
It doesn't work. Like, to me, they're just going to be Cleveland forever. Where I'll call them like it's like the Washington football team. They're the Cleveland baseball team now. I mean, the Cleveland Guardians is just not going to come out of my mouth, you know.
You don't like the guards? Call them the guards?
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, man.
Gar!
But go guards.
Cool, like, no. The Pirates.
Oh, for the
no,
love.
I'm with you. I'm with no. you. It's not great.
So, but
it's
here's the thing. I bet you a lot of people listening don't know they are tied for the second best record in baseball.
They're damn good, man.
So tonight.
Are they damn
Saturday,
good or are they just playing
John,
hot?
John, they're not far behind the Phillies. They're like,
I understand.
They're like three games behind
I
the
think
Phillies.
They're playing hot baseball right now.
No, I think
I
they're
know
just
they're
an incredibly well-run franchise. They're like the real Moneyball team that has done it for longer and better than Billy Beane.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
I mean,
well,
they,
look, it sets
forever,
up for an intriguing
since
weekend.
Since the 90s, like, they've done it with no money forever. It's unbelievable.
I like, and hopefully the players acknowledge and understand this, and they'll rise to the occasion like they did for the Dodgers series and swept the team that everyone else in the world thought would be such a challenge.
Well, that was the last time the Phillies played good baseball.
Exactly.
What was that, about 3 weeks ago?
That's the last. They blew right. out their batteries, beating the Dodgers. Now they're still trying to recover. Yeah. Okay, you've recovered. It's time to play like that again.
I didn't realize. Fritz told me a stat that I didn't realize. They're 19-19 since London.
Look.
That's kind of shocking. Like, I would have thought at least a little over 500.
I will agree with you. That's pretty shocking. I agree with that. Look, we'll take everyone's calls in the Phils. I mean, think about that. 38 games, they've been 500. It worries me. I'll admit
it. It shouldn't, because the Braves are exactly as bad as we are.
It's not about just the Braves.
As soon as we lose,
they
lose
too. It's about the playoffs. Mm.
Okay, that's so far away by that time.
But that's all that matters.
It's not that far away.
It is. Very. Come on, we just got past the All-Star break.
It's in 2 months and 1 week.
Yeah, and a lot's going to change by that point in time. I'm positive we are incredibly well-situated, and right now guys are trying to get back into the swing of things after a long break. And by that, right, I think these are creatures of habit. They do better when we're locked in. We've seen it with our starting pitchers. You give Zach Wheeler or Aaron Nola extra time off, and it's almost like they had 1 day to rest instead of 10. These guys like it to be just so the way it always is, the way it always has been. And, you know, it was different lately. I think we saw that in the way they played.
John, can I tell you when it's going to be different?
In the postseason?
Yeah, you know why?
And they need to figure out how to manage that.
No, I know,
better.
But teams have struggled. When the Phillies get a bye, it's going to be different.
Exactly.
They're not going to play baseball for about a week.
Yeah, and so that's something they have
better
not
get
experienced.
They better get accustomed to different.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
You're right.
You know, I mean, all right, so look, we'll take everyone's thoughts on the Phillies. I mean, it's an intriguing series. It could be a World Series preview tonight and Saturday and Sunday. But when you hear that fact, Phillies 19-19 in their last, you know, 38 games, what do you make of it? All right, 215-592-9494. Also, what intrigues you on the Eagles? You know, what's piquing your interest right now?
I have another thing that intrigued me yesterday.
Yes.
There was a moment prior to practice where the offensive lineman, it was, my gosh, Mekhi Becton. And
projectile vomit guy, as James calls
that
him.
That was funny.
Mekhi Becton and I think 74, number 74, his guy, Fred Johnson. I had to look him up.
These guys were standing there trying to do the reach test.
Yep.
The offensive line was out there prior to practice. They were reaching as high as they could.
Yeah, Mekhi Becton, could reach the highest.
Mekhi Becton is so massive.
Yes, he is.
Okay, and Fred Johnson's right there with them. Number 68 came walking out from the facility. I couldn't believe. I thought my eyes were deceiving me. That can't be Jordan Mailata. That can't possibly be Jordan Mailata, who previously had been the biggest human being I'd ever been around.
And probably that the
These
Eagles ever
guys
had.
Are bigger than Jordan Mailata. These new linemen, they dwarfed him.
I noticed
they
it
made him look petite. Petite Jordan Mailata, the guy who's 6'8". It was so crazy. These guys were reaching up there. It was almost like if there were a basketball hoop, they would automatically be dunking it without jumping and bringing that whole contraption down.
It was
like,
cool.
This is massive humanity.
No, I know.
And we are – you should be excited.
Well, we'll see, if they have, people, we'll see man. If they have the skill, but Becton is huge. And he's got a legitimate shot to win the guard spot. I mean, notice what Sirianni said this week. It wasn't like, yep, Tyler Steen, definitely my guard. He's like, we'll say.
But Tyler Steen has the starting spot.
For now.
To start camp.
For now, yep.
Mekhi Becton's got a lot more experience than Steen does.
215-592-9494 to weigh in on everything, including what's intriguing you on the Birds. Let's kick it off with Alex. Alex, good morning, buddy.
Coming in hot, baby.
It's coming in hot. I love it.
Season, baby. It's football season.
Yes, sir.
Come on, man. Get
yes,
hyped,
sir.
Man.
Yep.
Get hyped. E-S-Eagles! I can't wait, man.
Well, hold on. Alex, I got to tell you something. I hate to burst the bubble, but your phone like went out during the G. Can you just repeat that and this time actually let us hear the G? Your floor is yours. Go ahead with the G.
Oh, no.
Joe, this is your fault. We should have just taken the one we got.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Alex,
man.
I'm fine. All right, fine. We're fine, Alex. Go ahead.
Hey.
You should help him out, Joe. Give us one.
This is the time.
Give me one.
Alex, what do you got on the Eagles, man?
I am waiting for, man. I've been waiting for this to start up, man. I've been waiting. Look, be happy, man. We got a freaking juggernaut team, man. They're gonna exceed everybody's expectations, man. Get on board.
Well, they
man.
Got a Alex. They got a potential juggernaut team, but we got to see some stuff to know it. I mean, got to see Jalen play better, and got to see this defense come together, and got to get a sense of whether Sirianni, because this is like the make or break year of his career, honestly. Whether he's gonna do his thing.
We don't hope. We wish, man. This team, it's got all the makings of what it needs. You know what I mean? And we got the coaches, we got the players, we got young.
Do they have the Alex? Do they have the pass rush? Hold on, Alex.
Secondary that's
Alex,
stacked.
Alex, do they have the pass rush?
Come on, why wouldn't they?
Because sometimes they don't. You want me to start screaming? I'll scream.
Because Brandon Graham.
Sometimes they don't have a pass rush.
Brandon Graham is starting at defensive end, and he's old.
No, he's not starting.
Yeah,
well, Vic Fangio said Bryce Huff isn't ready to be an every down guy right now.
He was out there starting yesterday when I was watching practice.
Well, that's not good. I mean, no offense to Brandon, but in year 15, that's not good. Alex, appreciate the call. So, obviously, it should be, based on payment, Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff. Devin, you're right. I mean, Vic Fangio yesterday.
That was crazy.
He just laid him out.
Yeah, like, talk about piquing my interest, but not in a good way. It's like he basically said he's not where we want him to be right now.
He's
like,
not ready.
That's not great.
That's what he said.
Well, maybe he's challenging him. Maybe he feels like that's what this player needs.
Yeah, but
or maybe he's just old school and he doesn't care one lick.
But probably the player's not ready. I mean, we've had multiple people say this guy really can't play the run.
Well, he has not been asked to like a.
Well, that's normally for a reason. That's normally because the guy stinks at it, and the Jets coach knew it.
And you now know? We, yeah.
Well, look, I'll tell you what.
Got a lot of teaching.
Coming up, we'll get to what Vic Fangio said yesterday about Bryce Huff. It was really interesting. Plus, the Phillies. We dabbled on this yesterday. We'll do it more hardcore today. A reliever or an outfielder? Our last show before the weekend, which is getting very close to the trade deadline. Do you want an outfielder? Do you want a relief pitcher and why? We'll get to that and more. Plus, your chance to win really cool concert tickets, and we'll open up some Olympic topics as well. It's all here as we broadcast from Borgata. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. Hey, what a wild time to be a Philadelphia sports fan. We're all, of course, as we were just talking about with that last caller, hoping for a winner. You know, that enthusiasm for a winner, that feeling of winning, that's exactly what you'll get when you team up with the remarkable people and the true experts at MHS Lift. Because Andy and Brett Levin, look, they run a winning operation in every single way possible. You know, MHS Lift, a team of winners who continues to rack up awards. Now, how do they do it? Well, it's really simple in many ways. They work hard. They have core values. They're great at what they do. And they work together for you. They work together as a team for you, the customer. MHS Lift is the company you should trust when it comes to forklifts, material handling equipment, warehouse automation, and warehouse efficiency assessments. Plus, if your equipment needs repairs or maintenance, MHS Lift offers sleep well service. You can sleep well knowing that your repairs are being done right and being done right on time. MHS Lift has been in business now for over 53 years. They do it right the first time, every time. Call them today, 888-MHS-LIFT. All right, great to be with you on this Friday morning. It's almost like a football Friday. I mean, football's back. It's in the air. And, of course, we'll have an Eagles game coming up. I got to look it up exactly. It's probably about 10 days or so, or 9 or 8. Is it next week, James, or the week after that?
I am not
probably
sure.
Probably 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
But they do get to it pretty quick. So, it's an intriguing, obviously, preseason because there are a lot of position battles. John talking about the corners earlier. I mean, I too want to see some of those guys. I want to see them in games. I mean, you keep hearing about Keely Ringo, like he's totally reinvented himself. I don't know how a guy would make that big a leap from year one to year two, but some people do. I remember Trott, year one, barely played. And year two, it's like, this guy's awesome. So, and he was a third round pick, and Keely Ringo was, I think, a fourth round pick. So sometimes you get those
leaps. We're sure helping that happens with Nolan Smith.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, I was impressed with his size yesterday. Obviously, he didn't grow height wise.
I heard a lot of people say that.
John, I thought
I
he
don't
looked.
Really understand.
Oh, I thought he looked physically big. Tall. And
but I thought he was
bigger.
Already physically big.
I did not have that impression.
I didn't feel quite the same way about that.
That's interesting. Other people said that too?
I heard other people say that.
That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
I thought he looked big.
And maybe it's because, I don't know, I just assumed he would be that big. He looked similar to last year. He did play sparingly last season, yeah. So we got, you know, I had a snapshot in my mind of what he looked like on the field in a uniform.
Yep.
And it was comparable.
You and I had a different impression. We just did, clearly. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, when you call in today, the chance to win a very cool prize is we give away one final day here, the tickets to see Imagine Dragons, the Loom World Tour. Great band. Coming up July 30th, so obviously just in a couple days, at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion for Imagine Dragons. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. All right, how do you win them today? Well, it's very simple. With the Olympics starting today and the opening ceremony, for our purpose here in the East Coast, 1:30 this afternoon. By the way, NBC is going to then replay it later tonight at 7:30 as well, because obviously more people will watch tonight than this afternoon, you know, I would think. But with the Olympics upon us, and look, it is cool. Summer Olympics in particular is cool. Today at 215-592-9494, for you to win the tickets to Imagine Dragons, you just got to answer this question. What's like the all-time moment? What is the all-time storyline in Olympic history other than Seltzer, I got to crank it up. I got to hear this moment.
Shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. The Legionov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. 1980, obviously, Al Michaels, Ken Dryden on the call as the U.S. defeated the Soviets in the semifinals, by the way, on their way to the finals and ultimately an Olympic gold medal for the U.S. 1980 men's hockey team. Today at 215-592-9494, we will ask you, other than that Olympic moment, and incorporating both the summer, which is upon us for the next 2 weeks, and the Winter Olympics, which has a lot of great moments as well, in your opinion, the best Olympic moment ever or the best Olympic storyline ever? Best answer by the end of the show, whoever provides it, is going to win those Imagine Dragon tickets. Hit us up, 215-592-9494. John, I don't know if you're going Mount Rushmore or not. I'm not going to. Because I want to hear from the audience like what they think is really the winning answer. But what hits you, John, as a moment or a storyline?
This is one of so many from the 84 Olympics.
There are hundreds and hundreds, by the way, big ones.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. But the 84 Olympics were formative for me.
Yep.
They were, I don't know, it just timed up perfectly.
Yep.
I was 10 years old. I'm home the whole summer. You know, normally I would be like going to the township pool.
So is your answer the 84? You're taking the whole 84.
You can't take the whole 84 Olympics. That's not going to be okay.
It was
incredible. You got to pick something from the 84
Olympics. I'm taking the Olympics from 1960 to 2020. I'm ready to take them all.
Carl Lewis.
Yes, that's a big one.
His boyhood idol, Jesse Owens, had gotten won gold in the 100, the 200.
Did you just take Jesse Owens off the board?
No.
The winning answer. Yes, you did. You said
all right. Jesse Owens off the board, Carl Lewis off the board. All right.
Yes.
It was a big deal.
It was huge. It was a big deal. It was everything to a lot of people.
All right. Devin, give me an answer here for a moment or a storyline from the Olympics, winter or summer.
So I'm definitely not going to take a winner, but one that's personally special to me. I grew up skiing like a lot, and Peekaboo Street was my favorite athlete growing up, and she was coming back from a massive knee injury, and she won the gold in the Super G in the 1998 Olympics.
That was a big deal. Seltzer, give me an answer that's maybe not so big, but big.
Yeah, I'm not taking a winning answer, but I will say what I think is the, and I don't love the way it ended for us, but I think the best game I've ever seen in the Olympics, the 2010 hockey final, OT, USA, Crosby scores the golden goal. Like that was a bummer. But that game itself going to overtime for the gold medal was just a thrill.
Yeah, no, that was great. I think the goalie was Ryan Miller, if I remember right. And look, there's big answers out there. I'm going to give you one from the way back that is probably the first truly big moment in Olympic history. Now, obviously, none of us saw it. But Jim Thorpe, the whole Jim Thorpe thing. Because in 1912, within one week, Jim Thorpe went from being completely, totally unknown around the world to 1 week later being considered
sure
the world's
greatest. Are you sure he was unknown?
Totally unknown, John.
Because
totally
he did every sport on the planet.
After that.
Was it after?
Yes, yes, yes. Trust me.
I never knew the
chronology. In 1912,
of it all?
Within 1 week, because he wins the pentathlon and the decathlon.
So this was like his grand appearance,
correct,
onto the world stage.
Correct. It's before he plays. It's before.
This is like Jimi Hendrix 1967 in Monterey.
I suppose so, yeah. So Thorpe 1912 at Stockholm, and like a week later, everyone's like, this guy is the greatest athlete in the world.
And think about that. He goes from Olympic success for the world to see, and then becomes professional
football,
athlete,
baseball, football,
multiple
all
sports.
Sorts of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
But it all started there.
All right, give us great answers. An Olympic moment, an Olympic storyline. There are big ones. I guess we're saying, other than Miracle on Ice and other than Jesse Owens, which obviously are probably the two biggest of all time, what else stands out to you? Because there are so many great ones. Let's go to Gary. Gary's calling from Whitehall. Gary, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. How we doing today?
Good, pal.
Doing great, Gary.
Hey, I wanted to talk Phillies, but I'll throw Burns in there, too.
Sure.
Kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Disheartening that your number one financial acquisition over the offseason, maybe a good prospect to play three downs, maybe we'll see.
Now I'm confused. Which player are you talking about?
Bryce Huff.
Oh, yeah. No, I.
You know what, though?
I agree, Gary.
Hey, Bryce Huff is a work in progress. And realistically, what we're paying him, what was it, $15 to $18 million a year?
Yep.
That is not the going rate for a top edge rusher.
No,
like,
it's
you
not.
Know that. That
no,
is,
that's
right. Sort of a discounted rate. That's the contract that Hassan Reddick is holding out against
right
now.
But it should be a starter, and it should be someone who can play both the run and
pass. But that's not a starter's price in the NFL. I'm just saying.
It's not a star's price.
It's a starter's
but it's a
price,
starter's
not an elite
price.
I mean, like,
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, no, John. It's a starter's price. Yeah, it's not a star's price.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's not a guy who just signed the contract to start. It's not. It's wonky in that regard. We knew that he was going to be a work in progress, and the coach just told us that.
But I didn't think it would be laid out. Let me put it this
way. It's unusual that he was as bold-faced about it as he was.
Well, but also, he just might not be that good. I mean, Jaws basically said it was about 3 weeks ago that he doesn't think he's that good. I mean, maybe he's not. Some guys just aren't that good. Some guys get overpaid. Gary, give me a big-time answer here for something from the Olympics. A moment or a storyline that's the biggest ever?
No, I was just saying about Huff real quick. You know, we had Son of Reddick. Yeah, he was making less money, but he was more proven. This guy's a part-time role player.
I know.
They were paying $17 million a year, and he might be a good fit. We don't know.
I just looked it up. He is the 17th highest paid edge rusher in the NFL on a per annual basis.
Yeah.
So that's pretty high.
That's pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good. And Gary, wait till we play this Vic Fangio audio, what he said yesterday.
It's not the premium price for a guy who just signed. It's not
$3.
There's 16 guys at the position who make more. So he has to start. He would be
period.
Essentially,
he has to start, and he has to be good. That's what's required for $51 million.
I don't think he's starting right now. All right,
Gary.
From what I saw, he was not starting.
Gary, give me an answer from the Olympics.
Okay. Hey, the next 5 series, real quick on the Phillies, they better get their heads out of their ass.
I know.
It's time to shine. Anyway, how about you saying Bolt and Hunter?
Oh, that's a good one. So, yes, Usain Bolt, and I think the big year for him was in 2008 or 2012. He probably won in both, but there was that one race where it was shocking to see him so much athletically more gifted than others. Usain Bolt and his whole Olympic career, that's a great answer. All right, let's get to what Vic Fangio said, speaking of answers, about Bryce Huff. Because, you know, he was asked about him yesterday, and we're talking a little bit about Bryce Huff because, you know, Fangio's answer did not exactly inspire confidence. Here's what Vic Fangio said yesterday.
In New York, Bryce Huff was essentially a pass rush specialist. You guys have him starting here. Why do you think he'll be able to be a guy that can play on base downs?
Well, I think everybody thought he could. And knowing that the floor was just rush downs, but he's taken the challenge on very well, and I do think he has the talent to do what we want him to do. It's just he's got to get familiar with doing it, and so it will be a work in progress. Does he look like he could do it today? No, but I do think eventually he will.
Bryce isn't ready to be that guy yet. What does he need to do to become that guy?
Constantly show improvement and a feel. It's more of a feel. He has the talent to do it, but he's never been asked to do it, I don't think in college and nor with the Jets. So it's new, and he's got to become more proficient at it.
Look, they've obviously,
that's great. Well, we should not be sensationalizing this. This is a coach just saying it like it is. This is a guy who needs to continue to improve to live up to what we expect from him.
John.
I like him challenging the guy.
No, but John, the coach just said in college and the pros, his former coaches didn't trust him to play against the run. That's what Vic Fangio just said.
No, he didn't say that.
Yeah, he did.
He said he didn't do what we are asking.
He said he's never done it before, is what he said.
That was the line. He's, quote, never done it before.
Yeah. Well, he said he didn't do what we were asking him to do. We think he can do what we're asking him to do.
I don't know how you're not
more
aligned.
He hasn't done it yet.
Man, again, to the point, he's the 17th.
Positive?
John, he's the 17th highest paid edge rusher. He would be the highest paid edge rusher in half the league, essentially.
I mean, John, do you want Brandon Graham starting in his mid-30s?
He's not the highest paid edge rusher in half the league.
John, I'm saying half the teams, if there are 16 teams.
When you're the next guy signed,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Highest contract signed.
James, it's all right.
And that's not what he did. He got a contract in the middle range when he was signed.
That's not accurate.
It is.
He's the 17th highest paid edge rusher.
There's 64 starting edge rushers.
And what?
64 of them.
And what?
32 times two.
And what are the other guys getting? And what
16 are getting more than him.
What is Micah Parsons holding out to get?
Yeah, a lot more money than him.
$40 million.
And you're comparing him to Micah Parsons?
It's more than twice.
John, let me ask you a question. John,
about.
Do you want Brandon Graham?
He is in middle of the range.
Do you want Brandon Graham starting?
Contract. Brandon Graham is starting right now.
Do?
And no, I don't. I think we need to go get a player who can start.
Well, that's not good. That's where we are. We're go get a player in
July. Yeah.
In late July, now let's go get.
Sometimes teams do that. It's not that sensational, once again.
It's not an ideal scenario to have to go get a pass rusher in late July.
No, it's not, but it happens. And I don't know. Maybe Bryce Huff looks great. Maybe he goes out there and does fantastic things.
Look, we'll take everyone's
thoughts.
Stop
the run like D tackle. I don't expect it.
What do you make of what Fangio said?
I expect he can be a lot better than what you seem to think he's going to be a disaster.
Well, I have no idea what he's going to be. I've never seen the guy play other than an Eagles Jets game.
I thought what Vic Fangio said was more, hey, I'm going to challenge this player.
I don't think so.
It is not. I don't think it's that serious that he's coming out and saying the guy's not where we want him to be yet.
We'll say.
Look, I hope every coach feels that way, and I hope every player feels that way.
Look, we're obviously still, and we'll continue to get accustomed to how Vic Fangio publicly presents things. So it's impossible to know for sure. I mean, maybe this is a Bill Parcells type challenge, but I was pretty alarmed when I heard that comment yesterday. 215-592-9494. Let's also get to today's Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Make sure you check out Armin Chevrolet's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question. So, Summer Olympics, tons of sports. But we've narrowed it down to four that are really, really big in the Summer Olympics. And we ask you, which of these four sports are you most looking forward to watching this Summer Olympics? And it's a shame things from yesteryear that were a big deal, like baseball and boxing, don't even make the poll. But these four certainly have stood the test of time for the Summer Olympics. Which one? All right, great to be with you on this Friday morning. It's almost like a football Friday. I mean, football's back. It's in the air. And, of course, we'll have an Eagles game coming up. I got to look it up exactly. It's probably about 10 days or so, or 9 or 8. Is it next week, James, or the week after that?
I am not
probably
sure.
Probably 2 weeks from now.
Yeah,
I'll
look it up.
But they do get to it pretty quick. So, it's an intriguing, obviously, preseason because there are a lot of position battles. John talking about the corners earlier. I mean, I too want to see some of those guys. I want to see them in games. I mean, you keep hearing about Keely Ringo, like he's totally reinvented himself. I don't know how a guy would make that big a leap from year one to year two, but some people do. I remember Trot, year one, barely played. And year two, it's like, this guy's awesome. So, and he was a third-round pick, and Keely Ringo was, I think, a fourth-round pick. So sometimes you get those
leaps. Well, we're sure helping that happens with Nolan Smith.
Oh, yeah. I'd tell you, I was impressed with his size yesterday. Obviously, he didn't grow height-wise.
I heard a lot of people say that.
John, I thought
he
looked...
I don't really understand.
Oh, I thought he looked physically big. Tall and
bigger. But I thought he was already physically big.
I did not have that impression.
I didn't feel quite the same way about that.
That's interesting. Other people said that too?
I heard other people say that.
That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
I thought he looked big.
And maybe it's because, I don't know, I just assumed he would be that big. He looked similar to last year. He did play sparingly last season, so we got, you know, I had a snapshot in my mind of what he looked like on the field in a uniform.
Yep.
And it was comparable. I don't know,
you and I had a different impression. We just did, clearly. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, when you call in today, the chance to win a very cool prize is we give away one final day here, the tickets to see Imagine Dragons, the Loom World Tour. Great band. Coming up July 30th, so obviously just in a couple days, at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion for Imagine Dragons. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. All right, how do you win them today? Well, it's very simple. With the Olympics starting today and the opening ceremony, for our purpose here in the East Coast, 1:30 this afternoon. By the way, NBC is going to then replay it later tonight at 7:30 as well, because obviously more people will watch tonight than this afternoon, you know, I would think. But with the Olympics upon us, and look, it is cool. Summer Olympics in particular is cool. Today at 215-592-9494, for you to win the tickets to Imagine Dragons, you just got to answer this question. What's like the all-time moment? What is the all-time storyline in Olympic history other than, Seltzer, I got to crank it up. I got to hear this moment.
Shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. The Legionov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. 1980, obviously, Al Michaels, Ken Dryden on the call as the U.S. defeated the Soviets in the semifinals, by the way, on their way to the finals and ultimately an Olympic gold medal for the U.S. 1980 men's hockey team. Today at 215-592-9494, we will ask you, other than that Olympic moment, and incorporating both the summer, which is upon us for the next 2 weeks, and the Winter Olympics, which has a lot of great moments as well, in your opinion, the best Olympic moment ever or the best Olympic storyline ever, best answer by the end of the show, whoever provides it, is going to win those Imagine Dragon tickets. Hit us up, 215-592-9494. John, I don't know if you're going Mount Rushmore or not. I'm not going to. Because I want to hear from the audience like what they think is really the winning answer. But what hits you, John, as a moment or a storyline?
This is one of so many from the 84 Olympics.
There are hundreds and hundreds, by the way, big ones.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. But the 84 Olympics were formative for me.
Yep.
They were, I don't know, it just timed up perfectly.
Yep.
I was 10 years old. I'm home the whole summer. You know, normally I would be like going to the township pool.
So is your answer the 84? You're taking the whole 84.
You can't take the whole 84 Olympics. That's not going to be okay.
It was
you gotta
incredible.
You got to pick something from the 84
Olympics. I'm taking the Olympics from 1960 to 2020. I'm right. I'm taking them all.
Carl Lewis.
Yes, that's a big
his
one.
His boyhood idol, Jesse Owens, had gotten won gold in the 100, the 200.
Did you just take
just took Jesse Owens off the board also, dude? That was the winning answer. Yes, you did. You said
Jesse Owens off the board, Carl Lewis off the board.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
It was a big deal.
It was huge.
It was a big deal.
It was everything to a lot of people.
All right. Devin, give me an answer here for a moment or a storyline from the Olympics, winter or summer.
So I'm definitely not going to take a winner, but one that's personally special to me. I grew up skiing like a lot, and Peekaboo Street was my favorite athlete growing up, and she was coming back from a massive knee injury, and she won the gold in the Super G in the 1998 Olympics.
That was a big deal. Seltzer, give me an answer that's maybe not so big, but big.
Yeah, I'm not taking a winning answer, but I will say what I think is the, and I don't love the way it ended for us, but I think the best game I've ever seen in the Olympics, the 2010 hockey final, OT, USA, Crosby scores the golden goal. Like that was a bummer. But that game itself going to overtime for the gold medal was just a thrill.
Yeah, no, that was great. I think the goalie was Ryan Miller, if I remember right. And look, there's big answers out there. I'm going to give you one from the way back that is probably the first truly big moment in Olympic history. Now, obviously, none of us saw it. But Jim Thorpe, the whole Jim Thorpe thing. Because in 1912, within one week, Jim Thorpe went from being completely, totally unknown around the world to 1 week later being considered
sure
the world's
greatest. Unknown?
Totally unknown, John.
Because
totally
he did every sport on the planet.
After that.
Was it
Yes. Trust me.
I never knew the chronology.
In 1912, within 1 week, because he wins the pentathlon and the decathlon.
So this was like his grand grand appearance onto the world stage.
Correct. It's before he plays. It's before.
This is like Jimi Hendrix 1967 in Monterey.
I suppose so, yeah. So Thorpe 1912 in Stockholm, and like a week later, everyone's like, this guy is the greatest athlete in the world.
And think about that. He goes from Olympic success for the world to see and then becomes professional
football,
athlete,
baseball,
in
football,
multiple
all
sports.
Sorts of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
But it all started there.
All right, give us great answers. An Olympic moment, an Olympic storyline. There are big ones. I guess we're saying, other than Miracle on Ice and other than Jesse Owens, which obviously are probably the two biggest of all time, what else stands out to you? Because there are so many great ones. Let's go to Gary. Gary's calling from Whitehall. Gary, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Good, pal.
Doing great, Gary.
Hey, I wanted to talk Phillies, but I'll throw Burns in there, too.
Sure.
Kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Disheartening that your number one financial acquisition over the offseason, maybe a good prospect to play three downs. Maybe we'll see.
Now, I'm confused. Which player are you talking about?
Bryce Huff.
Oh, yeah. No, I.
You know what, though?
I agree, Gary.
Hey, Bryce Huff is a work in progress. And realistically, what we're paying him, what was it, 15 to 18 million dollars a year? Yep. That is not the going rate for a top edge rusher.
No,
like,
it's
you
not.
Know that. That no, is that's right. Sort of a discounted rate. That is that's the contract that Hassan Reddick is holding out against.
But it should
right
be
now.
But it should be a starter, and it should be someone who can play both the run
but
and pass.
That's not a starter's price in the NFL. I'm just saying.
It's not a star's price.
It's a starter,
but it's a starter's
price.
I
mean, like,
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, no, John. It's a starter's price. Yeah, it's not a star's price.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's not a guy who just signed the contract to start. It's not it's wonky in that regard. We knew that he was going to be a work in progress, and the coach just told us that.
But I didn't think it would be laid out. Let me put it this way.
It's unusual that he was as bold-faced about it as he was.
Well, but also, he just might not be that good. I mean, Jaws basically said it was about 3 weeks ago that he doesn't think he's that good. I mean, maybe he's not. Some guys just aren't that good. Some guys get overpaid. Gary, give me a big-time answer here for something from the Olympics, a moment or a storyline that's the biggest ever.
I was just saying about Huff real quick. You know, we had Hassan Reddick. Yeah, he was making less money, but he was more proven. This guy's a part-time role player.
I know.
They were paying $17 million a year, and he might be a good fit. We don't know.
I just looked it up. He is the 17th highest paid edge rusher in the NFL on a per annual basis.
Yeah.
So that's pretty high.
That's pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good. And Gary, wait till we play this Vic Fangio audio, what he said yesterday.
It's not the premium price for a guy who just signed. It is.
It's not premium, but it's not $3.
There are 16 guys at the position who make more. So he has
to start.
He would be.
Period.
Essentially,
he has to start, and he has to be good. That's required for $51 million.
I don't think he's starting right now.
All right, Gary.
From what I saw, he was not starting.
Gary, give me an answer from the Olympics.
Okay. Hey, the next 5 series, real quick on the Phillies, they better get their heads out of their ass.
I know.
It's time to shine. Anyway, how about Usain Bolt and Hunter?
Oh, that's a good one. So, yes, Usain Bolt, and I think the big year for him was in 2008 or 2012. He probably won in both, but there was that one race where it was shocking to see him so much athletically more gifted than others. Usain Bolt. And his whole Olympic career, that's a great answer. All right, let's get to what Vic Fangio said, speaking of answers, about Bryce Huff. Because, you know, he was asked about him yesterday, and we're talking a little bit about Bryce Huff because, you know, Fangio's answer did not exactly inspire confidence. Here's what Vic Fangio said yesterday.
In New York, Bryce Huff was essentially a pass rush specialist. You guys have him starting here. Why do you think he'll be able to be a guy that can play on base downs?
Well, I think everybody thought he could. And knowing that the floor was just rush downs, but he's taken the challenge on very well, and I do think he has the talent to do what we want him to do. It's just he's got to get familiar with doing it, and so it will be a work in progress. Does he look like he could do it today? No, but I do think eventually he will.
Bryce isn't ready to be that guy yet. What does he need to do to become that guy?
Constantly show improvement and a feel. It's more of a feel. He has the talent to do it, but he's never been asked to do it, I don't think in college and nor with the Jets. So it's new, and he's got to become more proficient at it.
Look, they've obviously,
that's great. Well, we should not be sensationalizing this. This is a coach just saying it like it is. This is a guy who needs to continue to improve to live up to what we expect from him.
John.
I like him challenging the guy.
No, but John, the coach just said in college and the pros, his former coaches didn't trust him to play against the run. That's what Vic Fangio just said.
No, he didn't say that.
Yeah, he did just say that.
He said he didn't do what we are asking.
He said he's never done it before, is what he said.
That was the line. He's, quote, never done it before.
Yeah. Well, he said he didn't do what we were asking him to do. We think he can do what we're asking him to do.
I don't know how you're not
he
more
hasn't
aligned.
Done it yet.
Yeah, man. Again,
really
to the
will
point,
do
to the
don't
point,
you,
he's
don't
the
you
17th.
Think it's positive?
Do you, John, he's the 17th highest paid edge rusher. He would be the highest paid edge rusher in half the league, essentially.
I mean, John, do you want Brandon Graham starting in his mid 30s?
He's not the highest paid edge rusher in
John,
half the league. Normally, in other
teams, if there are 16
when you're the next guy signed,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Highest contract.
James, it's all right.
And that's not what he did. He got a contract in the middle range. when he was signed.
That's not accurate.
It is. He's the 17th highest paid edge rusher.
There's 64 starting edge rushers.
And what?
64 of
and
them.
What
32
are,
times still.
And what are the other guys getting? And what
16 are getting
what
more than
is
him.
Micah Parsons holding out to get?
Yeah, a lot more money than him.
$40 million.
And you're comparing him to Micah
it's
Parsons?
It's more than twice.
John, let me ask you a question. John,
about.
Do you want Brandon Graham?
He
hold
is
on, John.
A middle of the range.
Do you want Brandon Graham starting?
Contract. Brandon Graham is starting right now.
Do?
And no, I Thank don't. You. I think okay. we need to go get a player who can start.
Well, that's not
he's
good.
Making $7 million
so that's
more
where
than
we are.
Josh
we're go get a player in
Possibly.
July.
Yeah,
in late July. Now let's go.
Sometimes
get...
teams do that. It's not that sensational.
Well,
once again,
it's not. It's not an ideal scenario to have to go get a pass rusher in late July.
No, it's not. But it happens. And I don't know. Maybe Huff. Maybe Bryce Huff looks great. Maybe he goes out there and does fantastic things.
Look, we'll take
and
everyone's
can stop
thoughts
the run
on
like D tackle.
What do you
I
make,
don't expect it.
What do you make of what Fangio
I
said?
I expect he can be a lot better than what you seem to think he's going to be a disaster.
Well, I have no
there.
Idea what he's going to be. I've never seen the guy play other than an Eagles Jets game.
I thought
game in
what Vic Fangio said was more, hey, I'm going to challenge this player.
I don't think so.
It is not. I don't think it's that serious yep. that he's coming out and saying the guy's not where we want him to be yet.
We'll say.
Look, I hope every coach feels that way, and I hope every player feels that way.
Look, we're obviously still and we'll continue to get accustomed to how Vic Fangio publicly presents things. So it's impossible to know for sure. I mean, maybe this is a Bill Parcells type challenge, but I was pretty alarmed when I heard that comment yesterday. 215-592-9494. Let's also get to today's Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Make sure you check out Armin Chevrolet's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question. So, Summer Olympics, tons of sports. But we've narrowed it down to four that are really, really big in the Summer Olympics. And we ask you, which of these four sports are you most looking forward to watching this Summer Olympics? And it's a shame things from yesteryear that were a big deal, like baseball and boxing, don't even make the poll. But these four certainly have stood the test of time for the Summer Olympics. Which one, basically, do you like the most and are you most looking forward to this year? A, basketball. Joel Embiid, old man LeBron, all of that. B, gymnastics, which typically gets the highest ratings. C, swimming / diving, everything that happens in the pool. And D, track and field, which is a massive, massive. Devin, which is your favorite of those four? Or put another way, because favorite is technically not the mm-hmm. question, which this year are you looking forward to it the most?
Gymnastics. I'm excited to see Simone Biles. I got so fired up just watching her performance that I think it was like it got her into the Olympics during the trials. And she just has such a good comeback story. So I'm excited.
She's not going to quit today, right?
I don't think so. No, I think she's going to stick it out.
Do you hold that against?
Is that a dig at Simone Biles?
The Olympics are about to start. She quit.
I mean, but it was a weird
year. Can you imagine
if
Donovan McNabb quit right before the 2004 Super Bowl? I'll sit this out. Okay.
But she's back.
She's back, and that's why I'm excited to see her.
All right, John, which are you most excited? John, this year, which are you most excited for?
Well, I don't know so much about this year. I don't know the athletes that are competing in the track and field realm.
Yeah,
but
it feels
I
like
love,
that's going down some notches.
I don't know the guys. I don't know the fastest guys.
Right.
That's unusual, but I really enjoy watching incredible world-class speed. I'll watch as much track as I can.
Well, track and field is fun. We'll ask everyone at 215-592-9494. Of those four sports, which one grabs you the most for this year?